Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. It saves you time and money so you can provide your family with a financial safety net starting today. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you talk through it. Talk to a team of award-winning agents who will walk you through the process step by step. Easily compare quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Your work-life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Even worse, it may not come with you if you leave your job. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. They have no incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. Thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best fit for their needs. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Today is February 10th, 2022, and our first story. Inflation once again hits a 40-year high at 7.5%. Many now believe the Democrats will be crushed in November, not just because of gerrymandering from Republicans, but because the economy is in shambles. And it seems obvious. In our next story, GoFundMe is now under investigation by several states for deceptive acts after they shut down the Freedom Convoy's fundraiser. And in our last story, the National Guard has been deployed to beat teachers. If we keep replacing private sector jobs or civilian jobs with military, we could be heading towards a really dark future. Now, if you like the show, give us a good review. Leave us 5 stars because it really does help. And share the show with your friends. Now, let's get into that first story. The latest numbers on inflation from the Consumer Price Index are out, and once again, the latest numbers are the worst we've seen since 1982. And The Guardian so astutely announces fears for Democrats' midterm hopes as U.S. inflation hits 40-year high. Official data shows U.S. prices 7.5% higher than a year ago. And you know what? I don't care. I think the Consumer Price Index is interesting. I think the reporting is interesting, but I think most people are experiencing something they don't need you to tell them about. When I go to the grocery store and I see empty shelves, yeah, I see problems. When I go to the grocery store and I see smaller boxes, less products, higher prices, yeah, I'm going to get upset. When I need to hire people and there's no one to hire, when the restrictions are still in play, when people are protesting and disrupting roads, bridges, borders, yes, I can see something. I don't need you to come out and tell me about it. Now, to be honest, the metric is still good. I like data collection so we can quantify what the problem really is. But let's be honest. The Consumer Price Index changes all the time. So I'm seeing this stat, this reporting, even from TimCast.com, the worst inflation in 40 years. And you know what? I've reported on it before. But I decided to look into how they used to run the Consumer Price Index, and well, they've changed it. They've changed it quite a bit, quite a lot, and over a long period of time. So right now, there are many people saying, if we were to calculate inflation based on the actual numbers we used in 1982, inflation today is worse than what we refer to as the Great Inflation. Now, that's shocking, right? We would have to go back to around 1946 or so to see worse inflation, and that was World War II. But the reality is the Consumer Price Index has changed more than just in 1980, not just in 1990. There's been several changes applied to it, so I don't even know if the math makes sense. But if we want to go off of the 1982 number, okay, let's go off the 1982 number. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the case, Joe Biden is presiding over the worst inflation we have seen in this country since the end of World War II. The period in the 1980s of inflation was called the Great Inflation. It is worse now. And it's not just rising prices. There's something called shrinkflation, which you've maybe heard of. Shrinkflation is when your box of Eggo waffles gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but the price stays the same. In certain circumstances, the box gets smaller and the prices go up. But there's something interesting that I think is often overlooked that I read about, a phenomenon in Canada, at least a Canadian outlet is highlighting it, called shelfflation. Now, what is that? Extending the shelf life of goods to prolong their positioning on the shelf. Yeah, I kid you not. Shelfflation is when companies say, you know, this milk actually could last another week. And so what ends up happening is if people are buying up the goods too quickly and they can't resupply them, extend the sell-by date. And so products that are maybe going a little south will still be on those shelves. And you know what? I actually noticed this, but never thought about it. When I went to the grocery store a few weeks ago, there was the fruit section in the produce area where they do the berries was empty. But in front of every empty shelf position was a small plastic tray of strawberries. And I noticed they had like 5x5 of strawberries, and it was just one. Like there wasn't a row of them. It was like one strawberry package in front. And they were all pretty nasty looking. And I looked through all of them. I'm like, these are moldy. These are bad. These are bruised and brown. And instead of, you know, normally when you go to a section, you have all the food and it's lined up going back. No, it was just faced. Why? Otherwise, the shelf would have been empty. So they kept up gross, disgusting strawberries in the front section because, well, they don't want you to realize that it's actually pretty bad. And they're leaving up the nasty strawberries because eventually you'll say, I'll eat the moldy strawberries, I guess. It's better than nothing. And that's where we're at right now. You don't need to show me any numbers for me to understand what's going on. I see it with my own eyes. And you also got to understand that every different region is different. So you may experience something different. I know in DC proper and in Frederick, which is near Maryland, the stores are apparently just really, really bad. And you head out to West Virginia where it's more rural and it's not as bad, but still kind of bad. Well, let's jump into the news, get the hard numbers. I want to show you where the inflation is hitting, what this means for Democrats, but I want to break down how this actually may be the worst inflation since World War II. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com, become a member if you want to help support the work we do. We are funded by members. It is our primary source of revenue in running this operation. So when you decide to go to Timcast, sign up, become a member, you will get access to exclusive members-only segments of the Timcast IRL podcast. We had Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene on last night. We got a little rowdy. It's uncensored, so we swear a lot. But by signing up, you make sure all of our journalists can keep working. You make sure I can keep producing these videos and work, and we can expand and do more and maybe displace the dishonest fake news media and corporate press and bring about something a bit more truthful. But don't forget to smash the like button right now, subscribe to this channel, share this show anywhere you can. Let's read from timcast.com. January inflation hit 7.5%, the fastest increase in 40 years. Key indicators of inflation in the U.S. have risen at their fastest rate in 40 years, impacting every sector of the economy. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who released their information, saying that it is the largest annual price increase since February 1982. Many economists predicted an increase about 7.3% in January from a previous year and 0.5% month over month. The economy's core prices, which exclude food and energy, climbed 6% in January from the previous year. It was a much more significant increase from December when it rose 5.5%, the steepest since August of 1982. Very, very interesting. Wow. So I'm reading the news and I'm like, what do you mean it's the worst inflation since the 80s? I've already done like four videos saying that. Yeah, because it keeps getting worse and it's one-upping the previous record, but it's just going back a few months back into 1982. They say prices increased across every industry, including housing, furniture, used cars, and even medical costs. Well, let's take a look at where some of this actually, what the hard numbers actually are. Charlie Bileo, hopefully pronouncing that right, CEO of Compound Capital, tweets, price increases over the last few years. Over the last year. Used cars up 40.5%. Gasoline is up 40. Gas utilities, 23. Meat, fish, and eggs, 12. New cars, 12. Electricity, 10. Food at home, 7.4. Outside of the home, food, 6.4. Transportation, 5.6. Apparel, 5.3. And shelter, 4.4. These are brutal, brutal numbers. I got to be honest. I mean, think about that. gas is up 40%. What you need to understand about fuel, energy is one of the core components, the base foundation of our economy. The ability for people to actually go and go to work, the ability for people to run machines without gas, without energy conversion, you're using your hands. Let me take you back in time. Human energy. It starts with humans eating food, using their own hands to do things. Eventually, some dude's like, hey, I got an idea. This big cow thing, it can pull stuff more than I can, and all it does is eat grass all day. We then used beasts of burden for energy. We then discovered, I think first we used lumber, burning it for heat, and then we ended up with steam power, then coal, and now we have a whole bunch of different kinds of energy. But every time we come out with a better form of energy conversion, it allows us to do a whole lot more. If gasoline is up 40%, this means people are going to be able to work less, which means if you want them to work, you got to pay them more. So each and every one of these metrics means it's not just about the 40% in gas. It's not just about the overall CPI of 7.5. It's that gas this high may precipitate a substantially larger increase in the overall CPI moving forward. But I want to show you something else. Let's talk about what it means to be the highest since 1982. And I'll show you this that many people have been sending me. This is shadow government stats, alternate inflation charts. Now, I don't know if this is a good metric to use, to be completely honest, because the CPI changes all the time. But take a look at this. Consumer inflation, official stats versus shadow stats, the 1980-based alternate. Now, many people have said that in the early 80s, we changed in the United States the consumer price index methodology, mathematics. Well, we did it to hide inflation. Inflation was so bad, they said, I got an idea. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. It saves you time and money so you can provide your family with a financial safety net starting today. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you talk through it. Talk to a team of award-winning agents who will walk you through the process step by step. Easily compare quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Your work-life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Even worse, it may not come with you if you leave your job. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. They have no incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. Thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best fit for their needs. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Let's just change the math. Then inflation will go down and people will be happy. Maybe. Take a look at this. We can see that around 1982, there was a split in how we calculated the consumer price index. Back in 1982, inflation was just shy of 15%. Then around the early 80s, it splits when we start calculating it differently. The red line in the graph I'm showing you is the modern version of inflation calculation, the blue line being the 1980 base. We can see as of right now, the CPI standard that we use today is around 7.5%. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're to trace this line all the way back to 1982, that is the previous period of the worst inflation. But we changed the math as to how we calculated this. That's why they show the 1980-based calculation. Based on this, inflation now is higher than it was pre-1982. And you can actually look back at this period known as the Great Inflation, March of 1980, when it peaked. The Great Inflation peaked just shy of 15%. My friends, that is to say, if we are talking about inflation and you want to calculate the same as it was in 1980 compared to today, well, let me slow down because it's complicated, okay? There have been many changes to consumer price index. I don't know if I have the full changes pulled up. But there have been many changes. It's not just in 1980 or 85. There's been a bunch of different changes. They constantly change it. But if you're going to come out across the board, all these news outlets, and say the highest since 1982, Well, then, we need to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges. If we're calculating inflation differently today than we did in the 80s, well, you're not actually comparing anything meaningful to anything meaningful. So let's take the calculation from the 80s and do it the exact same way. In which case, we can look back and see. Inflation today is the worst it's been since the mid-1940s, or potentially going into 1950. That is to say, Joe Biden is presiding over the worst inflation in what? 70 years, not 40. It's worse than that. Now, the reality is, like, CPI has changed periodically as well, so you can't really compare it to a whole lot. You can compare it to 1982, though, by simply using the existing methodology, and we can say, it's fair to say, based off of the 1980 methodology and today, inflation is a whole lot worse than it was in the 80s. I don't really know if we can fairly compare that to anything beyond that. That's just reality. Now, people are mad for an obvious reason. And Thomas Sowell, a great mind, big fan, by the way, gives us a good breakdown. Thomas Sowell tweets, one of the biggest and one of the oldest taxes is inflation. Governments have stolen their people's resources this way, not just for centuries, but for thousands of years. If you put $1,000 in your piggy bank in 1960 and took it out to spend it in 2000, you would discover that your money had, over time, lost 80% of its value. Income taxes only transfer money from your current income to the government, but it does not touch whatever money you may have saved over the years. With inflation, the government takes the same cut out of both. It's bad enough when the poorest have to turn over the same share of their assets to government as the richest do. But it is grotesque when the government puts a bigger bite on the poorest. This can happen because the rich can more easily convert their assets from money into things like real estate, gold, or other assets, whose value rises with inflation. But a welfare mother is unlikely to be able to buy real estate or gold. That's why my view on economic policy is more of a progressive tax system. But maybe that's not even right either, because the government just ripping people off. It's just ripping people off. But here's the truth about inflation. Rich people don't care. It's remarkable. I love this thread from Thomas Sowell, because there's an article from CNN that says, actually, inflation is bad for rich people and good for the poor. And their reasoning was, well, you see, poor people who have debt, when prices inflate, your debt doesn't change. And that means if inflation goes up and the average amount of hours a person could work will net them, say, $10 an hour, and you owe a $10 debt, you got to work 1 hour. But with inflation, your wages will go up even a little bit. Let's say you're now getting $12 an hour. Well, hold on a minute. You still only owe $10, which means you pocket $2. The buying power may be the same, but you retain some of it for yourself. CNN's full of crap because inflation is still ripping people off because wages don't go that high. So what ends up happening is rich people see the inflation and say, I'm going to buy land, I'm going to buy gold and silver, I'm going to buy Bitcoin, and I'm not going to think twice. Those assets all go up with inflation. US dollars don't. But I want to talk about two things, two big things that are going to affect you that you may not realize. I mentioned this early on, and this, I think this is very, very important. I have this from castanet.net. You know, I'm not familiar with this website, but it is NewsGuard certified, so of course we'll use it. Shelfflation is now a thing. First it was shrinkflation, now there's shelfflation. When I saw this article doing my research, I thought to myself, what is shelfflation? Are they talking about empty shelves or something? And then I realized it. It's actually really brilliant. I didn't even think about this. Many people didn't realize shrinkflation was a thing until it became prominent across the media. It's like, hey, wait a minute. My you know, box of cereal got smaller. That's right. Check this out. Castanet writes, you have likely heard of shrinkflation. You know, they mention it means the prices are getting smaller. When supply chains aren't working optimally, food products reach store shelves either less fresh than usual or a little too ripe, robbing consumers of some needed shelf life at home. It's called shelfflation. According to a recent poll by DeLuy University and the app Cattle, 41% of Canadians have thrown away milk in the past 12 months because it went sour before its due date. And 38.5% of respondents have done so at least twice. For 22.8% of those surveyed, it has happened 3 to 5 times. Throwing away spoiled products before due dates has always happened occasionally, but such a high number of occurrences is quite unusual. Anecdotally, many Canadians have lately noticed some of their produce isn't as fresh as it used to be, so it rots much sooner. shelflation is quite common, and pandemics aren't the only way a product's shelf life can be compromised. Cold supply chains, blah, blah, blah. You get the point. What's happening is your food products are arriving with less shelf life. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? So you'll get your milk. It'll say it expires in 2 weeks. It expires sooner. Why? Because that date ain't right. It allows the stores to keep products on the shelves longer than they normally would. It allows suppliers to take longer to deliver it. It is an illusion that makes you believe things are all right. It's really remarkable how they desperately try to make people think things are okay. And this is just one of those ways. I mean, look, if you're producing goods, let's say you're producing milk, and you get a big shipment and you're like, look, we can't get enough of this out because we can only ship X amount. This will spoil. I got an idea. If it would spoil, slap a later date on it. Send it out anyway. We need to sell and make money and keep things going. And then people realize they're buying nasty goods. It's amazing, isn't it? How bad things are really getting. People, their food is spoiling faster. It's crazy. I want to throw it to talk about the Democrats. And I want to highlight this just absolutely amazing tweet. I loved when this happened. You remember back on January 25th when Peter Ducey asked Joe Biden, do you think inflation is a political liability ahead of the midterms? And Biden, not realizing that his mic was on, said, that's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid SOB. Woo! What I loved about this was not that Biden was caught on a hot mic. I don't care about that. It's that behind closed doors and in private, the Democrats know inflation is bad and they know it is tanking them politically. Yet you still see CNN and all these other outlets saying that inflation's actually good for you. Let's talk about how funny this is. January 13th, worst inflation since 1982 puts Democrats in political jeopardy. They were in political jeopardy in January when prices were up 7%. You want to talk about jeopardy? They went up 7.5% year over year a month later. It's pretty incredible. It was reported that prices are up 7% from a year ago, the fastest pace of inflation since 1982. Price hikes in housing and used cars and trucks were among the increased costs of driving the inflation, as is the cost of food. As prices soar, Republicans are slamming the Biden admin and congressional Democrats, claiming the increase are the result of Democrats' policies and reckless spending. Yeah, I'd say so. It appears to be working. 54% of Americans think the U.S. economy is getting worse. Why would they think that? They're witnessing it, right? It's a ridiculous to say they think it's getting worse. No, they know it's getting worse. I want to say, when you realize the CPI is kind of bunk because they change it all the time, then I wonder if these stories from The Guardian or whatever, and they say Democrats, oh, and then invariably I report the same thing. I wonder if that's just politicking, because what do we really know about inflation? But I think the reality is we don't need to call inflation. We don't need to cite this number as to why they're in trouble. You want to know why the Democrats are in trouble? Because I go to the grocery store and ain't no strawberries. Isn't it really funny, though? The lack of strawberries is why Tim won't vote Democrat. Not entirely. It's a grain of sand in a heap. The fact that I go to the grocery store and everything is more expensive. The fact that I go to the grocery store and I see a lack of products. The fact that in 2019, I was told over and over again, the best year of my life under Donald Trump. And you know what's going to happen? People are going to say, I long for those days. Yo, if you look at the data, if you look at the polling, people were much happier with the economy in 2020, the first year of the pandemic. So how is it now that Joe Biden's been in office for a year and everything's worse and everyone feels worse? The reality is Joe Biden did worse. I saw someone post on Facebook. They said, why is everyone blaming Joe Biden? He hasn't even had enough time to fix things. Yet they're blaming him because in 2020, as things got the worst we've ever seen them, things still weren't as bad as they were in 2021, according to the sentiments of the average American voter. You look at 2021 and you can see that's when we started getting vaccine mandates negatively impacting people's businesses. Now, they were struggling. The lockdowns were bad, but the mandates made everybody angry. And they can't see it. Yo, I think I can see it. I think I can see it physically in my stores. I can see it in the reporting. But let's take it from BlackRock's Hildebrand. Oh, you know BlackRock, right? They're one of those big asset management firms. Bloomberg reports, BlackRock's Hildebrand says beware inexperienced bond traders. He says central banks must tread carefully with policy moves. Rising volatility tests investors as low inflation era ends. Well, that's one way to put it. Low inflation era. It's ending. Oh, you know, I just say high inflation era and instability is starting, but sure, call it whatever you want, Bloomberg. Now, you're probably thinking, I don't care about bond trading. No, it's this first paragraph. The 58-year-old BlackRock Inc. vice chairman warns that an enduring era of high inflation is set to test newbie bond traders on Wall Street. You know, I saw this story, and I feel like there's something missing from it. They're framing this for the investor. They're framing this for the financial gurus and those who pay attention on Wall Street. But this story isn't being framed for you or I. Take a look at that first sentence. An enduring era of high inflation? It's funny because that's what he's saying. That's the standout. That's the lead, at least for me. A vice chairman from BlackRock Inc. has come out and says there will be an enduring era of high inflation. That's what you need to understand. This means be prepared. I'm seeing a lot of people say March is going to get absolutely insane. It's going to be way worse. I mean, it's only been getting worse so far. Far be it from me to doubt that. I don't know what you can do. I'm not a financial advisor, but you need some sound financial advice. I'll tell you what I do. For one, I'm trying to buy stuff. I'm just trying to buy stuff. You know, I'll put it this way. A quick tip from our good friends over in Venezuela. Spend your money as soon as you get it, because holding the money, it becomes devalued rapidly. Look, we were looking at 7%, a 7% increase from January of 2022 from 2021. It's up to 7.5 from December to December. It's up 7.5 from January to January. What do you think it's going to be moving forward? Is there any reason to believe it's going to go down? No, I'll tell you this. I think as they begin to end a lot of these restrictions and they start to say like, oh, we've realized the polls are bad, so we're going to reopen, you're going to see a massive jump in inflation. This is what they kept talking about. They said, as the restrictions end, inflation will go up. Well, more restrictions are set to end. So it seems things will get much worse. But I'll show you a little bit more. We'll break down what's going on in this country. Jake Schneider tweets a CNN story. I love it. What has Biden done that you approve of? 56%, according to this poll from CNN, conducted by SSRS. Nothing. 56% of Americans say nothing when asked what President Biden has done that they approve of. Nothing. 15% said the economy. 6% said coronavirus. Isn't that amazing? 56% of people in a CNN poll said Joe Biden has done nothing they approve of. Nothing? I mean, come on. How about the dude buying a dog? You don't like that? All right. Well, it makes sense. He ditched the old one. How about Joe Biden? How about, now I guess I agree. I can't think of anything he's done that I approve of. I got to be completely honest. Not a single thing. You know, I could go back to when he ramped up the timeline for the delivery of the vaccine. And I remember when that happened last year, I was like, hey, look, it may be something small, but if Joe Biden's going to get the vaccine out faster, I'm all for it. Okay, great. Let's end this pandemic. Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, that's 877-646-5347. Now you look at the Omicron rates, you look at everything that's happening, and I'm just like, well, that was pointless. That did nothing. So it's not that I disapprove that he did it. I guess I can say that. I can say I approve of his attempt. I can approve that he tried. Yeah, he tried. I want to show you this tweet from Danny Rivero. Danny Rivero is a reporter for WLRN, formerly of Fusion. I know Danny. He says Wall Street investors bought a total of 40% of the single family home purchases in the Atlanta area the third quarter of 2021. We just heard in this Senate hearing, and they made up 70% of evictions. Truly an astonishing number, and it's only accelerating. Investor-owned rental properties are a relatively small part of the market, about 2%. But it is accelerating very quickly, coming into the housing market, jacking up rents, and not keeping same maintenance standards as mom-and-pop landlords. The GOP line on this is that the housing crisis is inflationary in nature, and Wall Street is being used as a scapegoat. The Democrat line is to sidestep inflation, focus on growing role of Wall Street. Several senators say almost all complaints they get are from investor-owned properties. Danny says it was testimony from Michael Waller of the Georgia Appleseed Center for Law and Justice. I don't know about that GOP line that the price of houses is going up and all that simply because of inflation. I actually think what we're seeing is massive Wall Street investment firms buying up houses because they can, destroying the economy, and everything's getting worse. I think the reality is there's a populist line on this. I don't care about Republicans. I don't care about the corporatist line from the Uniparty. I don't care about Democrats, stupid trash. The reality is powerful interests typically aligned with the Uniparty establishment, which, let's be honest, is mostly Democrats, but there are many Republicans in there. They play dirty. They're buying up houses and then renting them out. They're making them part of these rental blocks. There's a viral meme going around where someone said, I make more money based corrected for inflation than my parents did. In the early 90s, my parents bought a house off of their basic, you know, adult incomes, you know, mid-level. They were able to buy a house, and now their house they bought for a couple hundred grand is worth nearly $1 million. And this person said, I make more than they do adjusted for inflation, but I can barely afford rent. Yeah. It seems like the boomer investor institutions, I'm not saying all boomers are bad, but the institutions that are run by boomers and many Gen Xers are just ripping off millennials. And it's making them communists. I'll say it outright. These millennials are getting out of college. They have degrees. They have good salaries. And they're like, why can't I buy a house? Well, it's not just BlackRock and Vanguard and these other companies doing whatever it is they're doing. A lot of it is these people don't understand the concept of settling. I'll put it this way. When you live in an overcrowded area, let me pause for a second. It's not just that these companies are buying up these houses and screwing over the little guy. We have cultural problems alongside it. When you live in a high density area that's very expensive, what do? You move. That's what you do. You move. You move to a less densely populated area where it's cheaper and you can afford to buy a house. I'll tell you right now, y'all can afford to buy a house. Every single one of you. Yeah, it might not be a house you want to live in, and it might not be close enough to the job you want, but you could. You probably should. Out in West Virginia, there was a house I saw. It was like 50 grand. You could legally live in it. That's saying a lot. It had a bathroom. It has everything. It's in West Virginia. It's about 50 grand. I think it was like an acre, like a full acre, 50 grand. And everybody, whenever I say stuff like this, I hear millennials say things like, I don't have $50,000. You get a loan, dude. You put down a small percentage for that loan and you're going to be paying a couple hundred bucks a month. That's it. It's cheaper than your rent. The house sucks though. Well, that's your responsibility as the homeowner to fix it up. That's what people used to do. It's a small house. It's like 800 square feet. You get an acre of property. It's like 50, 60 grand. And you drive an hour to DC for work. Seriously, just an hour. I'm not even kidding. It's an hour away from DC. You could live in DC, drive 1 hour, and own your own home. The issue is they don't want to. So we've got cultural problems stacked on top of political problems, and it's all contributing. The reason I bring up the cultural issue here is because I don't want to just throw it all in the backs of just the elites, the 1% or whatever. The reality is we have cultural issues that have to be dealt with. If people are unwilling to do certain jobs, or jobs aren't willing to pay, then those jobs don't get filled, and we're going to find not just inflation as a problem, but stagflation. Stagnation in our economy, people not working, no growth, slowing growth, or even a recession at a time when prices are skyrocketing. That's going to be really, really bad. But you know who's going to get the blame for it? Let's be real. Democrats. And I do think it's obvious that their leadership has led to this. You can argue that, you know, it's funny they say, oh, well, you know, it was the previous administration that influenced the economy this time around. Nah, get out of here with that stuff. Joe Biden made direct moves which directly impacted how our economy is functioning. And Joe Biden should bear the brunt of the blame. All of it. Not all of it, essentially. I get there's a virus going around. But this is reality. And people are going to go vote in November. And I think for economic reasons, they're mostly going to be like, yeah, I'm voting Republican. Because at the very least, you're crossing your fingers and hoping something changes. I got bad news for you. The Republicans aren't the answer. Sure, I'm a big fan of people like Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think they're good people challenging the system and trying to solve our problems. But the Republican Party is just, it's the uniparty establishment. They're going to say whatever they have to say to get elected and then do nothing. And that's the unfortunate reality that we live in. But the night is always darkest before the dawn. We may be headed towards something positive because it's waking people up. People are being shocked out of their slumber. So we'll see. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Imagine being the leading fundraising platform on the internet, and you have a massive, possibly record-breaking, historical fundraiser on your hands. The Freedom Convoy 2022. Imagine nuking it, sacrificing it, and potentially destroying your business over politics. It's kind of crazy, but that's what GoFundMe basically did. GoFundMe claims, well, we can't get involved in unlawful activity, so we have to eliminate your nearly $9 million fundraiser for this protest. Well, the funny thing about GoFundMe is that they allow, and currently still do, fundraisers for violent riots. In fact, there was one far left GoFundMe where they literally stole a building. They went inside a building, took it over, and GoFundMe funded it. Yo, I know you hear me say it a lot, but civil war, look, and the reason I say something like that is just because at a certain point, you cannot beat down half the country and think they're just going to sit back and accept it. Deadline reports GoFundMe now faces investigations from Florida, Texas, Missouri, West Virginia, and Freedom Convoy donations. When GoFundMe, a massive platform, fundraising platform, allows Black Lives Matter and Antifa to raise money for overtly illegal activities, when they allow people to raise money for overtly partisan activities, but not you, it's just another grain of sand in the heap that is piling up, which says, you are a second-class citizen. You have no rights, you have no freedom, and you'll be held to account. And Black Lives Matter and Antifa can murder, burn, destroy, and they will get protection from the state. At what point does someone just lose their mind? Because we can't go on this way. There needs to be equality under the law, the 14th Amendment, but we don't have it. Now, perhaps something will change in November with the midterm elections, but I'm not entirely confident. You know, last night on Timcast IRL, make sure you check this one out. We had Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm a big fan of both. I've been familiar with Thomas Massey's work more than Marjorie Taylor Greene's. And I got to be honest, before we actually had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show, I just assumed she was, you know, some weirdo. And then you actually sit down and you realize, why did I fall for the lies from the media? You ask yourself that. And then you start to realize there are good people, very few of them, but they're in Congress and they're challenging the system. And I am. It was an honor and a privilege to host both of those individuals on my show, Timcast IRL. And I'm grateful to everybody who helped support our work. We need to start being active, being more active, and standing up for ourselves. And right now, this means getting involved in local politics, getting involved in state-level politics. And it means you need to talk with your states about what GoFundMe did. I know this isn't all about GoFundMe, what I'm saying right now, but the point is, there's a reason why it's Florida, Texas, Missouri, West Virginia going after GoFundMe for what appears to be, at least from, you know, what they're saying, a violation of the law. Well, it's because their constituents demand it. It's because they're active. It's because they don't sit around. It's because they just pick up the phone. It's really that simple. You take your cell phone, you call and say, I want to talk. I want to leave a message, send you a letter. And you do it politely. Like, hey, man, you know, just wanted to get you, raise your awareness about what GoFundMe is doing. This is clearly partisan action. We cannot allow this. We can't stand for this. A lot of people have mentioned, a lot of people on the right, they call it a double standard. They say, you know, the left gets away with this and the right doesn't. And Will Chamberlain, I think he put it eloquently on Timcast IRL when I said, it's not a double standard, it's just a single standard. And he says, no, it's hierarchy. And I'm like, that's a good way to put it. It's hierarchy. You are the outgroup. You are the second class citizen. Your politics don't matter. They don't care. They will violate any and all rules and laws to crush you. Here's the story from Deadline. There's an update to this. I'll read the initial report. They say the GoFundMe website reversed course and decided to automatically refund donations to the trucker organizations leading a protest against Canadian pandemic restrictions. But politicians vowed to investigate the website's original plans for dealing with the donations. Ron DeSantis, as many of you may have heard, said he wanted to look into this. But then we got the West Virginia Attorney General joining in, asking his residents to contact his office to let him know if they had been victimized by a deceptive act or practice by GoFundMe. GoFundMe originally shut down what it called law enforcement reports of violence and unlawful activity, which is an outright lie. No, hold on. Yeah, maybe there's violence at the trucker convoy. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some fights broke out or something like that. But the lie is how GoFundMe is like, well, we have to shut it down. But you know, when Antifa steals a building, when Antifa burns down buildings, destroys buildings, smashes windows, literally kills people. Well, that's allowed. You can fundraise for that. When Kamala Harris solicits donations to bail these people out, I think it's about time you realize that you are a second class citizen. You are. I think most of you probably realized it for a long time, but it's overt now. Well, we're taking back the power. This is not about pro-life versus pro-choice. This is not about tax policy. This is not about borders. This is not about foreign policy. It is not about policy at all. It's about equality under the law. And right now, half this country is not being held equally, is not being treated equally under the law. Now, I think it's funny. The left will say stupid things like, oh, the poor right-wing victims, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'm not talking about every circumstance ever. I'm talking about one specific thing. I'm talking about how the right can get censored for saying learn to code, but the left can call for overt violence. You want evidence? Just watch the podcast I did on Joe Rogan with Jack Dorsey. We pulled up an Antifa tweet advocating for violent extremism, and they wouldn't take it down. But someone on the right simply jokingly says learn to code and they get suspended, even if it's a senior level staff member for, I think it was a Daily Caller. I think the editor in chief, actually. It's a while ago, so I can't remember. But one of the high level staffers at the Daily Caller, which is a NewsGuard certified news source, by the way, tweeted out something referencing learn to code and got suspended for it. Yeah, that's second class citizen. It's because the big tech companies are overtly partisan, existing in one part of the world, and they treat you like second class citizens. Now, you want to talk about law, you want to talk about privilege and all that stuff, take it somewhere else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how big tech is shutting down certain political ideas. And the fact that they target minorities, black conservatives, Asian conservatives as well, just goes to show it's not a race thing. It's just an ideas thing. They say the website later scrapped its plan, saying donor feedback led it to simplify things, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, what had happened was GoFundMe was trying to sneak past. You know, you get tens of thousands of people to donate, notifying by email people aren't going to fill out the refund form. Like when you email everybody, I'll put it this way. If I sent that in an email to every member over at timcast.com and it said, if you'd like your money back, do this. Yeah, most people wouldn't see it. And so it's a dirty game GoFundMe was playing. By the way, go to timcast.com and become a member if you want to make sure we can keep doing this work. We really do need your support because we are member funded. And of course, we have people coming after us all the time. The update is the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said Wednesday that the office will investigate GoFundMe after its decision to end a fundraising effort assisting the Freedom Convoy in Canada. Paxton said they will review possible breaches of violations of the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act. Missouri's AG, Eric Schmidt, is also probing the company, accusing GoFundMe of trying to silence the Freedom Convoy. The protest is broadening outside of Ottawa as well. Convoys are gearing up elsewhere in Canada, the U.S., Europe, and New Zealand. Get this. The people are rising up. Now, take a look at this. It's really incredible. You know, we've got right now U.S. $8.1 million raised on GiveSendGo. The reason this is fascinating is that they are now rivaling the original GoFundMe. The original GoFundMe page was 10 million Canadian, which was just about $8 million. Now we can see the GiveSendGo is just about a little bit over $8 million, in which case GiveSendGo may now have a historical and record-breaking fundraiser on its hand that GoFundMe walked away from. You know what? Fine. Let them do it. Let GoFundMe, let Twitter, let Facebook nuke themselves. When Facebook's stock drops 30%, Peter Thiel leaves the board. You got YouTube, and now they're nuking shows, so people are going to Rumble, and Rumble's growing in massive value. Spotify, same problem. What's going to happen is what's called the parallel economy. I mentioned this in 2018, talking about censorship. And I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I talked about this on the Rogan Experience, that if you keep eliminating conservatives from your platforms, they'll eventually just build their own platforms. The idea that you could ban someone from financial services or social media and they would simply cease to exist is insane. So eventually what happens is a parallel economy emerges. We're there. Gab, for instance, is talking about building its parallel economy, launching it. They're doing payment processors. We're seeing it. Dan Bongino, Rumble, all of these platforms. You know what? They are now making sure that there is a conservative or more libertarian-minded tech opportunity. Silicon Valley is imploding. Like I said, Facebook's value drops 30%. And now we're going to start seeing rivals that believe more in free speech. Why use Facebook at all? I mean, nobody seems to care anymore. No one cares about that profile and being in touch with people. It's kind of interesting, to be honest. Facebook is a profile where people have information about their lives, but we just don't care. We don't follow that stuff. I mean, young people, especially Instagram and TikTok. So if you don't want to use Facebook, use Minds.com. And then you can follow your friends and family, and you don't got to worry about censorship. You can build a business. You don't got to worry about censorship. Rumble, I'll tell you this. If you are someone who's trying to get into podcasting or video production, you want to be on Rumble. If you are just starting out, I would say start on Rumble. Long-term investment, I think it's a better idea. More active engagement and more opportunity for reach. The way YouTube works now is that the ladder's been pulled up. It's possible to get big on YouTube, but it is absolutely elitist. If you produce viral videos or pranks or jokes or gags, you're going nowhere. If you want to do a podcast, you know, YouTube is not going to allow it. It'll be really, really difficult for you to grow your channel because, like I said, they pull the ladder up. Now, Rumble, there's a lot of content that was produced on YouTube back in the day that was edgy, shocking, funny. And these things went viral. People shared these videos. You can't do that on YouTube anymore. You can upload a video and then get it shared around, and just YouTube will never promote it. You can start a live stream on YouTube, and YouTube will block people from watching it. Yeah, Rumble doesn't do that. So I tell you this, you got to get started somewhere else. Twitter, I think, is a bad idea. It's growing, but it's just a cesspool of garbage and filth. That's why I don't really take it seriously. But if you want to make content, Rumble is your safest bet. If you're on YouTube and you start growing in popularity, let's say this. Let's say you're a live streamer of these convoys. What did we see? YouTube shut down the convoy live streams. Rumble wouldn't do that. So YouTube may have the bigger audience, but for someone who's just starting out, YouTube will nuke you in 2 seconds if you're a real threat to the established order. Rumble will gleefully promote you because they want to take over. They want to build their company. That's competition, baby. Let's take a look at what's happening around the world. Check this out. Anti-vaccine convoy forms in France, mimicking Canada's protesters.
Anti-vaccine.
No, it's an anti-mandate protest, okay? Dozens of trucks and vehicles left southern France on Wednesday and headed for Paris as part of a convoy opposing the country's vaccination pass program. Oh, so they're opposed to the mandates, not the vaccines. Uh-huh. The French protest was the latest reflection. And, you know, I want to say something, too, as well. I literally don't care if someone is anti-vaccine. Literally don't care. Yo, the establishment has lost any and all goodwill. I don't care about your position on things. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I'm sick, I'm going to go to my trusted medical professional. Take care of business. You should do the same. If you don't like vaccines, I literally don't care. If these people are protesting actual vaccine, like literally outright just being like, we don't like vaccines, I don't care either. Literally don't care. The establishment has lost all goodwill. There was a period where I'd be like, come on, guys, don't be an anti-vaxxer, you know? Now I'm just like, yo, I literally don't care at all, okay? You know, there's so many people who say things like, no, we don't oppose vaccination, we just oppose the mandates. And I'm just like, yeah, don't care. Literally don't care. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. It used to be that we all wanted to signal that we are reasonable people. Look, I think vaccinations are fantastic. I absolutely do. And I think mRNA technology is brilliant. I really do. There's talk about using mRNA technology for cancer. And for HIV and things like that. And I'm like, that's what it's all about. When they announced the mRNA stuff, I'm like, that's what we're talking about. Like, we can really rapidly advance vaccinations and medical technology using this stuff. And so I was like, I want to make sure everybody knows that, right? But they just keep saying anti-vaxxer over and over and over again. So now I'm just literally like, yeah, I don't even care anymore. Like, you can be a hollow earth believing, a flat hollow earth donut universe believing anti-vaxxer. And I'm going to be like, congratulations on your protest. I don't care about the establishment. I don't care about their opinions. They have lost all benefit of the doubt. They have lost all credibility. Literally don't care. Because I tell you this, I just don't believe them. I just don't believe anything they're saying. Look at this lie. Anti-vaccine convoy. They're lying. It's a lie. These people could be driving around with big flat moons and be like, we're flat moon believers. And I'd be like, okay, the media is probably lying about it. So I don't know what's going on. So why should I trust these people? Let's head over to our good friends over in New Zealand. New Zealand convoy clogs streets near Parliament protest vaccine mandates. Yeah, in New Zealand. They are having their own freedom convoy. I don't know how big it is, but it is spreading. We're seeing it across Europe. We're seeing talk about it in the U.S. Some people are trying to encourage a protest to shut down the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's a good idea because we're all really excited for the Super Bowl, you know? So I don't know if targeting people's enjoyment will make a successful protest, but, you know, people protesting in D.C., that happens all the time, and that sends a message to the political elites. Shutting down the Super Bowl will just piss off regular people. Most people are going to be like, come on, man. Like, it's this Sunday, you know, we all want to be chilling, and we got our own little parties planned, want to have a good time, watch Super Bowl or whatever. You know, I'm not a big football guy, but the Super Bowl is mostly about just an excuse to get together with your friends, hang out, put on the TV, have some chips and dip and pizza and wings and all that good stuff, and it's fun. You know, it's fun to have that get together. Now, over in France, here's the crazy thing. Apparently, they're threatening 2 years in prison for anybody who engages in this convoy. You know, man. More power to these people. More power to all the protesters. I just don't care anymore. You know, I'll probably talk about this in another segment, but inflation, the report just came out, and it's 7.5% year over year, which is, once again, the worst we've seen since the 80s. And, I mean, it is shockingly brutal. Now, people don't realize it's very, very possible that when all of the mandates and restrictions are removed, inflation is going to erupt. We'll say erupt. It's going to erupt because it's going to skyrocket. With everybody flooding into the market, everyone trying to get jobs, with all the restrictions and moratoriums and whatever, everything slowly being removed, I think we're going to see a massive explosion of inflation, which could threaten the stability of our economy more than it already has, because it's already really, really bad. 7.5%, man. There's a viral post where a woman said she goes to the grocery store every week to buy the same things, you know, milk, bread, eggs, cheese, or whatever. And she sees it every week. She buys the exact same things, and the prices keep going up. But she tells her friends, and they don't believe her, or they ignore her. This is what you got to understand. There are some people on fixed incomes or with routines. And so every Sunday they go out, get a half gallon of milk, get a loaf of bread, get a carton of eggs, get a pack of cheese. They know how much it costs every week. Every week they swipe their card and it's, you know, that's $73.29. And then every week they come out, it's like, that's $77.29, that's $84.29, that's $96.34. And then they're like, why is the price going up every single week? They can see it. I talked to people in my local grocery store periodically, and they say prices are going up like crazy. I don't want to get too much into that, but I just want to point out, you know, the system is in flames. It is crumbling, and it is because of the mandates and the restrictions and the lockdowns. Not only are we learning now from Johns Hopkins University that it was a screw-up, the lockdowns didn't do anything except destroy the economy, and who do we have to blame for that? Well, let's be real. Democrats. I know. The left would be like, see, this proves Tim is right-wing because he's blaming Democrats. I don't see Kristi Noem shutting down her state. Quite the opposite. Ron DeSantis opened up his state. You know, Abbott in Texas opened up his state. Republican states seem to mostly reopen and got rid of these restrictions. West Virginia, interestingly, was one of the states. They never locked down or anything like that, I think. I'm not sure, but they did have mask mandates. But West Virginia saw a little bit of growth. So you look at the blue states and they're crumbling. People are fleeing these blue states for red states. It was Democrats. Now, Jen Psaki wants to come out and say the lockdowns were the fault of the previous administration. No, it was Democrat governors supported by Democrats. You've got, you know, it's such a strange time. But the overt tribalism is just, there's no fixing it. There's no fixing it. The left is now claiming this worker uprising. Look at Freedom Convoy trucker protest leads to auto plant shutdowns. Okay, whatever. It's a general strike, isn't it? Truckers are engaging in a general strike and the left is upset about it. It's quite incredible. It's quite incredible. The hypocrisy on display across the board. And I've said it before and I will say it again. I absolutely defend the peaceful protests of BLM and Extinction Rebellion. I don't support the violent riots. So if you want to engage in nonviolent civil disobedience, I got nothing to say, but all right, you know, I respect that. I do. I may not agree with what you're doing, but I respect your right to protest. Well, here we are. The hierarchy, the double standard. The Democrats will raise money for criminals to get out of jail and then try and lock you up for life. They'll put you in solitary confinement in D.C., but nobody from Black Lives Matter, Antifa is going to face any real repercussions. I mean, obviously some have. It's a bit hyperbolic to say. Many have been charged, but nowhere near as many as, you know, we saw on January 6th. They're sending a message, and that message is when Antifa burns down a government building, yeah, okay, well, then they come and they arrest you. But when you burn down small businesses, they bail you out. When a right-wing individual protests at a government building, they throw not just the book at you, but the whole bookshelf, maybe even a library. They want you to realize this. Do not challenge their power, ever. That's not the way the government's supposed to work. So we had Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie on the show last night, and they mentioned how that Congress is basically run by these permanent staffers. It's basically run by these elites who don't give the rank and file members any real access. So you can get elected, you can show up in D.C., and there's some piece of trash like Pelosi who controls everything. And you're not going to get these people out. This system doesn't work. This is not how Congress should be working. It's supposed to be the voice of the people are being represented by the House. The problem is when you have millionaires, people worth hundreds of millions of dollars like Pelosi in control of everything, never giving it up, then the people don't have a voice. Something needs to change. And I'll tell you one thing. The truckers have certainly made their voice heard. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all then. Our society has been irreversibly changed by COVID, the restrictions, and the lockdown. Even if we pull all of these restrictions back, even as we watch Democrat states start to say, okay, we're not going to do this anymore because the polling is bad. These changes, well, they're permanent. The needle has been moved. And now we have what I'll just say is one of the freakiest stories I've ever seen. Substitute teachers, bus drivers amid staff shortages. The National Guard takes on unexpected missions. The Guard has never served or been involved in this number of roles, support missions, a spokesman said. That's right. It started with the National Guard being sent in to drive school buses. You know, I thought that was fairly alarming. A lot of people on the left, the establishment, they were just like, ah, that's what the National Guard does. In fact, I had many people even mentioning to me saying, Tim, the National Guard is supposed to fill in these roles. That's what they do in times of emergency. Do you want to live in a country where the National Guard is doing core functions for your city, state, government? What I mean by that is, we as civilians, we're supposed to be running things. We're supposed to be building and growing things, and the military is for our defense. The National Guard is, within reason, supposed to be for our defense. I understand why they would come in to fill certain jobs, but it gets pretty dark, in my opinion, when you have public schools, when you have school buses, when you have the National Guard teaching our children, and consider this, when they have purged the military of wrong thinkers. So it's not just the National Guard. I mean, it's every branch requiring mandatory vaccination, which means those who are more independent or liberty-minded are going to be kicked out, those who don't fall in line, and those who have political opinions which challenge the system. Because we've already heard that people who have, say, Gadsden flags in their profiles are being investigated and even reassigned on their missions. When the National Guard was deployed to D.C., there was reporting that, you know, some of these National Guardsmen who were down there got pulled because they had Gadsden flag imagery in their Facebook profile. And that's not the only story. Do you want a homogenized and purged National Guard teaching your children? Do you want the government overtly teaching your children in public schools? Because you know what this sounds like to me? It sounds like what they do in, you know, North Korea. It sounds like what they do in communist China. Government agents directly teaching your children. Oh, but it's because nobody wants to be a teacher anymore. You know? I suppose when you don't pay teachers all that much, I suppose when you have a government encroachment into our schooling system that causes this decay, all of a sudden you have the solution. I went to a private Catholic school for a few years for up until I finished fifth grade, and then sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I went to a public school. I certainly think there is a great value in private schools. My personal opinion, having experienced both, is that the private schools are obviously better for a lot of reasons. But even though my family was paying tuition at a private school, they still had to pay taxes for the public school. The government then gets a hold of the public schools, destroys them, and then sends in National Guardsmen, purges the ranks of these military branches. Yo, I don't think this sounds good. The Wall Street Journal reports, when Simon Hammond signed up for the National Guard in New Mexico nearly 3 years ago, he hoped to gain some new experiences and challenges. He never imagined he would be teaching eighth grade algebra. It's worked out, but did I expect it? Absolutely not. Totally crazy with COVID. Everything's crazy. Over the National Guard centuries-long history, members have often found themselves called on in emergencies as part of the state and national response to overseas missions, natural disasters, or disturbances. But during the pandemic, as COVID-19 absences and other staffing shortages have strained schools, government, and business, the Guard's job description has expanded into roles that many members never thought they'd be filling. And quite honestly, I don't think they should be allowed to fill. In New Mexico, Guard members serve as substitute teachers. In New York, they help care for elderly patients in nursing homes. In Massachusetts, they have driven school buses. Governor Charlie Baker called them a godsend. I'm telling you where this goes. Here's what I think when I see this. Not that I have any great clairvoyance or foresight or anything like that, to be completely honest, but I look at this and I'm wondering if there's a future where we have UBI, universal basic income, everyone's given a flat fee, and then you have the National Guard, the military, servicing the people and providing core functions. So eventually they're going to say, we don't have enough plumbers, send in the National Guard. We don't have enough carpenters, send in the National Guard. It's the government seizing of the private sector. Eventually, there won't be private practices. They will be gutted. You see what happens. Let's slow down here a little bit. You see what happens last year, the year before. Small mom-and-pop shops are shut down. Police officers with smiles on their faces put a boot on the neck of small business owners. And then we see big box stores, Amazon, Walmart, Target. Oh, they're allowed to remain open. I recall that story from North Jersey, where the woman was live streaming products to be sold at her store. And the police showed up and said, ma'am, you have to close your store. And she says, what are you talking about? We are closed. And the cop said, no, you're filming things and putting them on Facebook. She was live streaming. And she was flabbergasted. Wait, like the store is closed. She's just filming things she owns. And the police came and threatened her with smiles on their faces, putting the boot on her neck. Those cops should be prosecuted for some kind of crime. I don't know. Because you can't just go as an individual and shake someone down like that. But that's what they did, and under no real law. So where does that all lead to? Well, it may be that Democrats fear they're going to lose in November, but not that I think Republicans will do anything. Republicans are a speed bump. So maybe they're pulling back on these restrictions, not just because they fear the polls, or maybe not because they fear the polls, but maybe the issue is the rat hope experiment, right? You can't just radically alter society overnight. It has to be done incrementally. And when you put undue strain on the rat, for instance, the Curtis Richter or whatever the guy's name was. He put rats in a tube where they could not hold on to anything and they swam for 15 minutes before giving up and dying. But then he took the rats out, dried them off, the next batch, and placed them back in. After experiencing being saved, they swam for 60 hours thinking, if I can just hold on a little bit longer. And is that what's happening? The Democrats' polling isn't showing they're going to lose because the Republicans won't do anything about it anyway. The Republicans are going to be a speed bump. But the Democrats in the establishment, the political establishment, the corporate elites, they realize we've strained and stressed the population too much and they're ready to explode. Slow things down a little bit. Let the polls rebalance out. These stupid people will completely forget who put the boot on their neck. And then once they're ready to re-vote for these same people, we put the boot on their neck again. Where does this lead us to? A future in which there are no small businesses. A future in which, well, it's your own fault. Your business was destroyed. They shut it down. Mask mandates, vax mandates. Business is already declining because of these policies. We've heard business owners say over and over again that 30% reduction in revenues because of the vaccine mandates. I went to a restaurant, a sushi restaurant, and they're like, you have to wear a mask. But nobody was wearing a mask. Seriously. And then I said, you want me to wear a mask for 3 seconds to then sit down? And they were like, yes, bye-bye, I'm not doing it. I won't. But when people are willing to comply with this stuff, ultimately what I see happening is these small businesses will be destroyed by their own, by themselves. They're destroying themselves. Many businesses have racked up mass amounts of fines. And what do we see with Attila's Gym? Well, the people who own and run Attilus are being fined, having their money seized, or being criminally charged. The system, it wants to change, or I should say, they want it to change, whether you like it or not. I take a look at the National Guard driving buses and teaching in schools, and I tell you this, we are headed towards North Korea. There will be no private sector businesses. It will be distribution. UBI, well, when there's no private sector businesses, and I'm not saying it'll happen soon, maybe it'll take 20, 30 years, but if we continue on this path, that's where we're going. With universal basic income, you'll be given a set amount of money to spend. The government will have a set amount of goods for you to buy. Hey, that sounds like communism, or at least every attempt at communism so far. Military, National Guard, will be providing core services. Need a plumber? Just call the old National Guard. Need a teacher? Well, it's the military who does that for your children. If you want to serve your country, you should join up. Is this really where we're going? Yo, I think these schools should shut down before they do this. But you know what happens is it's all incremental. Because it's just one minor change, is look, it's just because it's an emergency. Well, what happens when in the next few years they say, we've done this all the time. We had the National Guard service teachers years ago. What are you complaining about? This is normal. New normal. The Great Reset. Call it what you want. Here we have teachers teaching in schools. And I will stress this point one more time before I show you these other stories. We have teachers who are National Guardsmen, but the National Guard is being purged of wrongthink. We are seeing hardcore indoctrination that is reminiscent, indicative of communism. Now, I don't know that that will ultimately succeed. I'm just saying, look at this photo that I'm showing right here. You got this guy, U.S. Army, it says, Hammond, and he's teaching an eighth grade math class. Yo, I'd pull my kids out in 2 seconds. 2 seconds. They say guardsmen and women take a temporary leave from their normal jobs after they are activated for a mission. Deployments vary, blah, blah, blah. Currently, there's more than 440,000 active members, with more than 334,000 in the Army National Guard and more than 106 in the Air National Guard. As of Monday, nearly 58,380 National Guard soldiers and airmen were activated in support of missions across the U.S. and overseas. New Mexico has 3,840 active members. A total of 79 soldiers and airmen were volunteering in classrooms across the state as of Monday, and about 9 others are scheduled to complete the credentialing process needed to teach. This is where we're going. It's not going to end with teachers. We're going to see custodians. We're already seeing nurses and doctors. They are slowly replacing the private sector with government-controlled authoritarian hierarchy. I mean, think about that. It's not just schools, hospitals, checkpoints. I mean, the National Guard is filling these roles. I want you to imagine what this means. You need to understand that the military is overtly hierarchical and authoritarian and communistic. No, hands down, it is. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more fascistic. And I'm not saying that means the country itself is fascist, but, you know, just hear me out. For a while, the military was, you know, more traditional. And traditional traditionalism, fascism, and authoritarian progressivism, communism. There you go, right? Or to varying degrees, that's kind of what it means. You have a system in place where you enlist, and now you do as you're told or else. Follow orders. You get a set amount of money, you get a set amount of food, everything is provided for you. I mean, it is rigid and authoritarian, period. Follow orders. Now, private sector jobs are being replaced by this. It's not going to be pretty when there is a monopoly, a government monopoly on all of these institutions. But here we go, baby. This is the way things are going. Now I want to show you the absurdity and the insanity of where we're headed because of COVID. Gayle King, host of CBS Mornings, she hosts CBS Mornings from the back of a van after testing positive for COVID alongside co-anchor Vlad Dudiers, but she says she's still hoping to go on vacation tomorrow following multiple negative tests. Gayle King, sitting in the back of a van. Look at that face. How creepy have things gotten? You know, the reason I highlight this story in the context of the soldiers is because I really want to show you the absurdity and the decay that is occurring within our society. When you have TV hosts doing their jobs from the back of a van, I think we start asking questions about what's happening. When the National Guard is going to our schools, when mom and pop shops are being destroyed, when we experience the greatest transfer of wealth in human history, and Biden lies, 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 every day another lie. I suppose many people would prefer to sit back and just be told what to do because it's easier. Weak men make hard times. And, you know, hard times make strong men. The weak men and women leading our country and our countries and our civilization are burning everything to the ground. Now, maybe it's not on purpose. Maybe it's a natural progression of a decaying system. Maybe the reason that communism arises in these other countries is not because communists figure out how to stage a revolution. It's because the system buckled under the pressure of its failures and corruption. And this just results in overt authoritarianism in any capacity. I mean, look, Nazis or communists, I don't care. They're both bad. Some people argue one's worse than the other. That's probably because they're a communist or because they're a fascist or whatever. I think the communists have killed more people, but the communists did kill more communists, which is kind of weird. Anyway, my point is, when a system breaks down, hyperinflation, destruction, people look for answers. In Weimar Germany, you got the Nazi Party. In other countries, you get communism, Bolshevik Revolution, things like that. It could be that the reason we're seeing the rise in what is probably communism is certainly there are communists who are pushing it, infiltrating, and trying to make it happen. But it could just be the natural progression of a decaying system, of a faltering system. Why is it the National Guard is coming in to teach in schools? Because they don't know what else to do. So they take the simple solution, military. Maybe that's how you end up with military teaching schools in these other countries that are communist. after the revolution, when the system was completely in decay, they said, who's going to do the job? Well, the people we can force to do the job, we can order to do the job, and the people who will just do the job. When you look at this story about CBS, and you see that this long-standing wealthy millionaire of a woman, I'm assuming she's rich, is being told she must go do her job in a van. I mean, that's really weird. But it's probably the simplest sign of collapse, in my opinion. Because of its sheer absurdity. Because we're outright like, you don't work in an office, you don't work in a TV studio, you work in a van. It's just something so absurd that it's indicative to me of the system falling apart. Well, here's what's going to happen. Eventually, there's going to be limited or no media, and you're going to be seeing calls for, you know, publicly funded media, which they already have. And we've already seen the stories about, because of Joe Rogan, it's evidence that we need the state to intervene. The DHS has come out and said those who sow misinformation that spreads distrust in government are dangerous extremists. So how long until there's some justification for having the National Guard do news reports? They can say, well, you know, misinformation is really dangerous and it's causing problems. So we're going to have, you know, National Guardsmen fill in to do these news reports. After a few years, you know, right now that might seem absurd, but have any of you ever expected that the National Guard would be teaching your children? That the military would be deployed? Granted, 79 people so far in this one state, but still. Did any of you think the National Guard would be out driving your kids' school buses? They're slowly taking over the education system. It's like, I look at that and I say it's only a matter of time until, I'll put it this way. If the ultimate goal is a command economy, like communism, maybe not communism exactly, UBI makes a lot of sense. Everybody gets $1,000 a month. Nobody holds jobs. Nobody owns a business. The government sets the prices. And that means you can only buy certain things. You can only buy a certain amount. But, if you like drinking milk more than eating bread, well, we gave you $1,000. And the milk costs 50 and the bread costs 50 because we control the prices. You can choose to buy 2 gallons of milk, 2 loaves of bread, or one of each. You have your freedom. What freedoms have you even lost? In fact, they're just giving you free stuff, right? And then who's working at that store? The National Guard. Because when the stores are shut down, maybe not anytime soon, but if we continue on a path like this, there's no more workers. And they say, but this is an essential job. What do we do? Someone's got to deliver the food. Someone's got to run the cash registers. How about the National Guard?
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know if that's likely. I don't know if it's even probable. But I tell you this. You say it can't happen here. I say you are wrong. You say it won't happen here. I say you are absolutely wrong. That's optimism bias and normalcy bias. The normalcy bias is when people think it can't happen here because it never does. Everything's going to stay normal. And the optimism bias is, it can't happen here because bad things aren't going to be happening to us. That's absurd. But here we go, man. The stupidest story in the world. Putting an anchor in a van. And now we have the trucker convoys, which seem to be working, but is this just the rat hope experiment, right? I wonder. So I'll do this. Comment below. What other sectors do you think could easily be replaced right now by military? Because I'd be willing to bet utility services, the electric company, sewer work, plumbing, carpentry. What happens when there's no contractors, no construction workers, and people are like, look, our buildings are falling apart? Well, send in the National Guard. Now get this. When the economy is completely destroyed, because we're looking at this hyperinflation right now, and people can't find work. Before we get to that point of potential like UBI and total communism, people are going to say, how do I make money? Well, it's really simple. Enlist. And you have a wage. The easiest way to make money when there's no private sector would be to join the military to get paid, right? So maybe what happens is they'll say, we'll give you a UBI of $2,000 a month. If you want any more than that, enlist. Now, you could, of course, have any job you want. No one's stopping you from working. Oh, all those small businesses are completely gone? Well, that's too bad. Where are you going to work? You could always enlist. We could always use more National Guardsmen to help build roads, bridges, and buildings. That's a dangerous path that we're on, and I think we need to be absolutely resistant to it. We should not tolerate this kind of thing. If we need more private sector, not more public sector. If the teachers are gone, then the parents need to find teachers. The parents need to pay for them. But you see, the government is strangling everybody out. You're paying taxes for these schools by force. You are funding a system that's already not working. Think about it this way. If I have a Netflix subscription for, you know, 15 bucks a month or whatever the price is, and I don't have Netflix, but let's say I do. And then one day they're like, oh, by the way, all the shows are gone. I'd be like, well, then I will choose not to spend money on this. But then one day a guy shows up with a gun and says, you better pay us or else. That's basically what the government is doing here. They're saying you got to pay for schools. The schools are broken and not working. Too bad. We're going to send in the National Guard. And you have no right to object because it's just the way things have always been. I hope you all are paying attention to the absurdity that we're experiencing. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. Over at youtube.com/Timcast. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you all then. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. It saves you time and money so you can provide your family with a financial safety net starting today. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you talk through it. Talk to a team of award-winning agents who will walk you through the process step by step. Easily compare quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Your work-life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Even worse, it may not come with you if you leave your job. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. They have no incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. Thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best fit for their needs. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.